The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. The holiday shopping season is here, so it's time for Bubble Genius's Can't Catch Me Gingerbread Man Soap. It's a big-ass gingerbread man soap that you can enjoy without going right to your thighs. Unless, of course, you're washing your thighs, that is. Scented with a yummalicious gingerbread fragrance, all the decorations are soap, too, and at almost 5 ounces, it should last you a good long time. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
You see, if you shoot pool with some employee here, you can come and borrow money. What does that get us? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class. And all because a few starry-eyed dreamers like Peter Bailey stir them up and fill their head with a lot of impossible ideas. Now, I say...
Just a minute now. Hold on, Mr. Potter. Just a minute. Now, you're right when you say my father was no businessman. I know that. Why he ever started this cheap penny-ante building alone, I'll never know, but... Neither you nor anybody else can say anything against his character, because his whole life was... Why, in the 25 years since he and Uncle Billy started this thing, he never once thought of himself. Isn't that right, Uncle Billy? He didn't save enough money to send Harry to school, let alone me. But he did help a few people get out of your slums, Mr. Potter. And what's wrong with that? Well, here, you're all businessmen here. Doesn't make them better citizens? Doesn't make them better customers? You said that they... What did you say just a minute ago? They had to wait and save their money before they even thought of a decent home? Wait? Wait for what? Until their children grow up and leave them? Until they're so old and broken down that the... Do you know how long it takes a working man to save $5,000? Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Well, in my book, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
Watch out! Something's coming, what? It's Christmas!
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Swayze, wishing you the best for a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hello, this is Robert Stack of Unsolved Mysteries, wishing you the best for a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Leslie Nielsen. Merry Christmas, you eggnog-sucking patsies.
It is Thursday, December 10, 2015, and this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska, that's Chez Pazienza, sitting right over there.
Hello.
Hi. We're brought to you each and every show by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Perfect for holiday shopping, especially the last-minute holiday shopping, because there's only, like, 2 weeks to go. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you're fixing to get a lawyer for your loved one or friend or family member, better call Bo, or you can just head over to... If you're feeling really cheap, you can head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. And you get free legal advice, and then you can just hammer that out into a Christmas card and send it to your whoever. All right, our pre-Christmas shows are brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon for all of your holiday shopping, enter the site using our link. It's just below the logo at BobSeska.com. Click that link, all right, and then you go to the front page of Amazon. And then you do all of your shopping. And then we get a small commission from everything you buy. Costs you nothing. Help support the show. Thank you. Okay, I guess we got to just dive into this. Already today, there's an active shooter.
Yeah.
It's a shocking news. This never happens in the United States.
Never. This is totally unusual. We should do the entire show about this.
Jesus, God. Jonesboro police in Arkansas confirmed to Channel 7 News they've identified the suspect taken into custody as Bradley Kenneth Bartelt, I guess that's his name, 47 years old. Police are investigating threats Bartelt allegedly made on Facebook prior to the incident on the Arkansas State campus. No one was injured in the campus incident. Police are working to secure the vehicle and the scene.
Right. The vehicle, by the way, is a big green pickup truck with a giant American flag hoisted up in the back of it.
I see it. I'm looking at it here.
Yep.
God bless America.
Yeah. Because nothing says America like an active shooter situation.
That's right. I mean, it's becoming like, you know, we do this every week now.
Yeah.
Thank God for us. We're awesome. American exceptionalism rules the day.
We have more gun violence than any other country.
We have the most exceptional active shooter situations in the entire world.
We do. Nobody else comes close. Nobody else can top our active shooter situations. In fact, if you go to the Sharper Image right now, you can get these active shooter situations. And I promise you, they're the most delicious, most flavorful active shooter situations you'll find anywhere. Up until now, you've only been able to get these active shooter situations at my resort.
And now you can get them at the Sharper Image. That is awesome.
Now you get these active shooter, these 100% American active shooter situations at the Sharper Image.
All right. Well, you know, I almost forgot. You know, all these active shooter situations occur, and all these gun massacres or terrorism, whatever you want to call it. And I almost forgot about the one against Planned Parenthood. Seems like it was years ago. Seems like, how long ago was that? That was like a week and a half ago.
And you know what? And let's be really honest here. How many people died in that? What, three?
Yeah.
That doesn't really count.
Yeah, I guess not.
Who cares? You got to get to at least, I want to say, like maybe seven or eight.
Well, in order to be the exceptional active shooter situation, needs right. to get up there a little bit better. I think, you know, active shooters, you can do better.
Right, exactly. You represent America now. You got to do better than just a couple, you know, two or three people.
And you're failing us. You're failing America.
Mm-hmm.
Shooters.
Robert Deere failed America.
You crazy people. This guy is particularly crazy. Robert Louis Deere. Did you see the clips of him talking in court?
I did. It's awesome.
You know, and I'm wondering, it seemed almost coached.
I want to invite him to Christmas.
Yeah, he'd be great sitting around Christmas dinner.
The government poisoned us with psychotropic drugs.
I mean, he might as well have just been puppeteered by Alex Jones. Yeah. Robert Louis Deere, right-wing conspiracy theory nut. That's what he's talking about. He's concerned about being fed psychotropic drugs, and that's one of Alex Jones's bugaboos. That's something that Alex Jones always talking about. Psychotropic drugs, they're giving you psychotropic drugs through the chemtrails and the juice boxes. Scum! Here's Robert Louis Deere, the Planned Parenthood terrorist, in court yesterday.
Seal the truth, huh?
But also
kill the babies. That's what Planned Parenthood does.
Oh, I want the right. I want the truth to come out. There's a lot more to this than me to go silently into the grave. There's a lot of things that they don't want to be known. Planned Parenthood and my lawyer are in
the show. You know what's awesome, though?
Yeah.
Seriously, he's going to be played in the movie by Brad Dourif. There's no way he's not.
Yeah, I mean,
listen to that voice.
They couldn't cast a crazier looking guy. And by the way, I'm not saying they cast him to dispel any conspiracy theories out
there. There it is.
Yeah, that's what the conspiracy theories have been all over Facebook for the last several days, talking about how Robert Louis Deere is a bad actor. Or at least, the last 24 hours, especially since he appeared in court, that he is acting crazy because he's a government plant.
Yep.
Oh, God. So this is the kind of these are the kind of people we're talking about here, and we're getting an up close look at just how nuts they are. Here's a little bit more of Robert Louis Deere shouting in court.
Me up. Nobody will ever know the amount of blood I saw inside that place. Do you know who this lawyer is? He's the lawyer for the Batman shooter that drugged them all up. And that's what they want to do to me.
Okay, that's where he hits the Alex Jones. I don't think the clip had the stuff about the psychotropic drugs, but he was definitely doing like an Alex Jones psychotropic drugs rant in there somewhere.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? That actual we could transcribe that, and I could read that back in the hey, there's lots of more things coming up here, more things and biblical prophecy and the occult especially. I could just do it in that voice, and it would basically be Dan Bedani. You know, that Batman shooter, they pumped him full of psychotropic drugs and things.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's interesting because I just did a piece for Banter for the magazine. Mm-hmm. I was originally going to appear on the actual site, but Ben in his infinite wisdom is like, no, magazine. So
okay.
Congratulations, you got to pay 99 cents to read it. Sorry. But it basically is, you know, the American right is now a terrorist organization. And it's about 2,200 words. You know, I talked to an expert and went through, you know, I hope laid out my case. And it's funny because for all of the effort that I went through to mention that there are people in positions of power, mm-hmm. People like, you know, Ted Cruz, who embraces these crazy anti-abortion people who spout this eliminationist, violent rhetoric,
mm-hmm.
And Carly Fiorina, who lies about what goes on at Planned Parenthood. I didn't bring up Alex Jones, and I should have.
Yeah.
I really should have. Because, yeah, he is the master of all of the people who are absolutely insane who follow underneath him. He is the Joker.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, God, I was watching maybe it was Lawrence O'Donnell last night, and he was talking about how there can't possibly be millions of people who believe these conspiracy theories. And I was like, are you out of your mind? Have you ever listened to the Alex Jones show? I don't know if it was Lawrence himself, but it may have been a guest that he had on the show. There are millions upon millions. What's Alex Jones's audience numbers? Like something like 10 million through his entire syndicated network?
Yeah, there's a shadow world out there.
Oh,
not
yeah,
to sound,
totally.
You know, too cliche, but mm-hmm. there is. There's a shadow world of people who believe you would not be able to comprehend.
Oh, yeah.
Who absolutely believe it. The, you know, normal people, Lawrence sitting there, or, you know, me and you talking, we can't even fathom it.
What's the latest?
Not only do they believe it now. What they didn't used to have is they used to have to contact each other by, you know, making up newsletters from their mom's basement, and now they have access to everybody.
Yeah, the conspiracy theory around San Bernardino now is that there were three tall white men, who were on the scene, who witnesses claim did the shooting, and now the government is covering that up because it was clearly the government.
Right. Yeah. Oh, let me tell you a little something about San Bernardino. San Bernardino is Alex Jones territory.
Oh, yeah.
San Bernardino is basically, you know, meth labs and like that.
Yeah, quality people.
Yeah, there's a joke if you live in the L.A. area. They call San Bernardino, you know, that desert area. They call it the Inland Empire. Mm-hmm. Most people here refer to it as the Inbred Empire.
I had no idea any of that.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Is it sort of like the seedy part of the L.A. basin? Is that what it is?
It was where Breaking Bad was originally going to be set before they moved it to Albuquerque when they realized they could get tax breaks.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. That makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got a big show to get to here today. Lots of Trump in the news. There's plenty of Trump in the news.
Wow.
And, you know, you mentioned Ted Cruz here a second ago. Ted Cruz said that Donald Trump lacks the quote-unquote judgment to be president and mused about his own strength. I think he pronounced it the regular way. He didn't say
strength.
He just said strength.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying seeing all of the crap about Ted Cruz's college days online.
Oh, it's great.
By the way.
Not only that, but my favorite, because I'm a pretentious, superficial
Yeah.
Was I really, really enjoyed Jezebel's column this week about who dressed Ted Cruz.
Oh, yeah. I saw you posted about that
if
with the big oversized suits.
If you look at him, every time I had thought this, I never really thought to write it down, and I should have because it was a great point. But every time I watched, you know, every single one of the debates, mm-hmm. I thought that. It's like he looks like he bought a suit. Like his mom bought him a suit off the rack at Penny's, and he's just swimming in it. He cannot dress himself.
Well, he's just a generally misshapen man. I mean, if you see the
he's a doughy goofball.
Exactly. He's so doughy, and there's
But it doesn't matter when you're a senator, you can afford to have decent clothes. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't give a shit.
It's no,
like
he doesn't.
It honestly is. I'm just going to throw this on.
You know, like he's an honorary member of the Crumpled Caucus in the Senate. He's right there with Bernie Sanders and Sherrod Brown.
Yeah.
Sherrod Brown, Bernie Sanders, Ted Cruz, all members of the Crumpled Caucus.
But he looks like a pouty kid whose mom has dressed him up. You know, he's angry over the fact that his mom has dressed him up in a suit and a clip-on tie for church.
Yeah. If you want to see something funny, go to my Facebook and scroll on down to the article I posted about Ted Cruz's latest campaign ad when he talks about killing the terrorists. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm sorry. It wasn't that. It was the outtakes that he provided for his super PAC, where he didn't literally give it to them. They have this technique with the super PACs where, because you can't, candidates can't have contact with the super PACs. So what they do is they shoot all of this B-roll and all of this footage for ads, and then just leave it up on a secret YouTube account.
That's awesome.
And then the super PAC goes, oh, look at this secret YouTube account with Ted Cruz footage. That'll be perfect for our Ted Cruz ads. So they take the, they rip the video off of YouTube and then edit it into super PAC ads. So in a way, the Ted Cruz campaign is doing super PAC video footage without actually having direct contact with the super PAC.
So it's basically, it's an online dead drop.
Exactly, it's an online dead drop. That's exactly right, yes. And so in this one clip, it's Ted Cruz sitting on his daughter's bed, like sitting on the sort of leaning against the headboard of his daughter's bed.
Oh, with, good.
With the two little daughters sitting next to him. They're in their pajamas under the covers, and he's sitting there wearing sort of the political uniform of the light blue button-down shirt with the blue jeans, and, you know, tucked way in, tucked tight in, the shirt just rammed down so it's practically tucked into his socks. And then he just looks so ridiculous and misshapen sitting there. Like, he just does not belong in this scene. It's like someone photoshopped misshapen, doughy Ted Cruz onto his daughter's bed. And they're just like, are we done yet? It's just, it's really worth watching
To be a politician in dress, you really don't have to have, it's not like you have to have imagination.
Yeah.
You're going to wear the same shit. There's nobody out there, you know, unless maybe in Italy, you know, but you're not going to find a politician who's like, you know what, I'm going to go monochromatic today.
That's right.
It's always like, all right, you got your, you know, blue shirt and your red tie and your dark blue suit. John Phillips, London.
I guess that crap has been focus group tested. Like, here's what a politician can get away with on Casual Friday, or whatever they do with the light blue button-down shirt and the jeans or the khakis that go along with that. And I guess they just focus grouped it all to hell and say, okay, this is acceptable, but now if you wear a tie with it, it'd be a little too formal. If there was an extra button unbuttoned, then that'd be too informal.
Oh, definitely. I mean, everything that these people do is focus grouped to death.
But it's funny that they actually have to focus group. There's a uniform for the casual wear for politicians. Speaking of appearances, by the way, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about, as far as I'm concerned, the best goddamn story of the political cycle so far. That'll be after a short break, back right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our brand new Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon? It's not a Dan Bedani mispronunciation of the word patriot. It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll add more shows every week, eventually every weekday, plus we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like post-mortem shows, not unlike Bill Maher's overtime segments, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. F***ing awesome. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Let's do this thing.
15 days for Christmas shopping, 15 days to fill the stocking, 15 days for Christmas shopping, only got 15 more.
Hi, 15 have you done your Christmas shopping? You better hurry up or
you'll be sorry.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
You know, for a second there, I thought they were saying 13 instead of 15, but they were actually saying 15, I swear to God.
Well, thank God.
I know, because the most annoying thing in the world has to be at least accurate.
You know what I really love, speaking of being focus grouped to death?
Yeah.
I really love Barack Obama's answer. I wrote about this. I put this up on Facebook because I just fucking love it. I loved Obama's answer to his favorite song of 2015.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His favorite song was Kendrick Lamar's How Much a Dollar Costs.
Well, there you go, yeah.
Which is, that's not a BS answer. That's not. I mean, even, you know, even Michelle Obama went for Uptown Funk, which you could probably consider that a BS answer, but I believe it coming from her.
Is that a 2015? Is that a 2015 song or 2014 song?
I think it was actually, I think that came out end of 2014. Yeah. It might have been fall of 2014. But How Much a Dollar Cost? It's not a single off To Pimp a Butterfly. Mm-hmm. It's you know, that's a sort of deep cut off that album, and it's a great song. The whole album is so good, and to hear him sort of give a shout out to Kendrick Lamar is just, that's just badass.
Yeah, right. And then I like your Facebook status you posted the other day where you said, and Ted Cruz's favorite song of 2015 is, once again, Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA.
Yeah, for the 23rd year in a row.
Yeah, exactly. This is the only song left that they have. And I guess Donald Trump has the Twisted Sister song now, which I assume he has permission to use.
Probably.
So we're just going to temporarily make Ted Cruz cry here if he's trolling the show.
Somebody responded to that post that I put up on Facebook saying that Ted Cruz says that he used to listen to rock, but after 9/11 he listens to country.
What?
Which is like, what the f- difference should 9/11 make in your musical taste? Also, were we attacked by rock musicians on 9/11? I just can't listen to rock anymore after 9/11. I got to listen because, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it had a weird effect on some of these Republicans. I mean, it completely.
By the way, I hear they're going to build a rock club close to Ground Zero. We're going to have to protest that.
Next to you. Oh, yeah. I'm getting a little weepy already. I don't. Ted Cruz's favorite song. All right, moving along here. There's no audio to it, which is disappointing, but Donald Trump nearly having his finger bitten off by a bald eagle is maybe the funniest thing I've ever seen, at least in the last 5 months or 6 months or so. Haven't seen the clip yet. It's all over Facebook. It's Donald Trump trying to record his little bit for the Time Person of the Year presentation, where he was a runner-up, and they had him sitting at his desk in Manhattan with a bald eagle, a real live bald eagle, and for some reason he reaches over toward
and in the greatest political metaphor in history.
Yes, that's right. The symbol of the United States of America tries to bite Donald Trump on his hand. This is the funniest damn thing. Reaches over. He was like trying to grab something on his desk, and it happened to be right under the eagle's pedestal. And then right away, the eagle just starts going. Well, no, it didn't make a monkey sound. It just made the bite sound. But and then Donald, the funniest part about that is not just the fact that the eagle tries to bite Donald Trump's hand, but the way he winces and rolls out of frame is almost like cartoonishly funny to me.
Oh yeah, totally.
Because he makes this contorted, like scared face, and then just slides out of frame, as if someone used like a big hook and grabbed his desk chair and pulled him out of frame.
Yeah,
just so endlessly funny watching the bullies act scared or act butthurt or something.
Yeah,
yeah. And this is,
I'm really surprised he didn't start tweeting about the eagle.
Yeah, exactly. This eagle clearly doesn't always talk. Clearly un-American, this eagle.
Clearly un-American. Low energy.
And he's bald. I mean, he's bald. What do you want? I've got this big, beautiful head of hair here. The eagle, bald. Well, it's not literally bald, Donald. It's just that's the name for the eagle. It's bald.
In the eagle's defense, he thought that the thing on Donald Trump's head was a rat.
He's like, that's a nice looking marmot you got there, Donald. I'm just going to bite it right off your head.
But yeah, watching him freak out and then try to fix his hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Then he's got the eagle on his arm. He's got the big mitt on his hand, and then the eagle sitting on the mitt. And then the eagle starts flapping its giant wings, and it blows Donald Trump's hair all askew. And then the handler of the eagle has to reach over and tamp down Trump's wig or whatever the f*** that is on his head. It's just so f***ing funny. Just so appropriate that Donald Trump was almost bitten on the hand by, you know, the symbol of the United States of America. I love crap like that. I love it. I love it. Love it to death. Couldn't happen to a better person.
He seriously needs to fall out of a plane.
It is. I mean, he's on his way, man. He is on his way to winning the nomination. And I'll even go out on a limb and say he's going to get the nomination, barring some sort of Republican move to draft someone else. He is going to get this nomination. I don't think we're going to talk about a poll. Actually, you know what? We'll just do this now. The latest poll has him gaining ground. He's way up right now. Real estate mogul Donald Trump solidified his lead as the front runner for the Republican presidential nomination in a CBS New York Times poll released Thursday morning. Trump polled at 35% among Republican primary voters, which is a 13-point jump from his standing in the poll in mid-October.
Well, the Post today is talking about how the Republicans are preparing for possibly a contested convention.
Yeah, well, that won't be surprising at all. I mean, I would imagine that the party's at least going to try to put up some other candidates.
There's nothing you can do.
Do a floor vote.
That's the thing. They're so f***ed either way.
They're screwed.
Either this clown is their candidate.
Yeah.
Either this clown is their nominee. He's their guy. Mm-hmm. Or they screw him over and he goes independent, and either way they lose.
Oh, yeah. And then it's more of this. It's going to be more of this through the general election. Hooray! Meanwhile, Senator Ted Cruz rose to second place with 16% support. He's second place is almost 20 points behind Trump.
Yeah.
He previously polled at the bottom of the crowded field with 4%. Retired neurosurgeon Dr. Ben Carson led the poll at 26% in October, fell to third place with 13%. Ben Carson just failing. It's no surprise there. Once again, Ben Carson, the threshold for what is too stupid for Republican voters.
Right, because that's the thing. He is not immune to the things that can kill campaigns.
Yeah. But
he is still susceptible to that, to all of the things that all the conventional wisdom that we've known for so long in terms of politics, all the things that can kill a candidate, that can ruin it, mm-hmm. ruin somebody's campaign. He is susceptible to that. Donald Trump is the one person who isn't.
You know, I wonder, and this is just a theory I'm yanking out of my ass at right here as we do the show. I wonder if the Republican bias against black people gave Ben Carson less of a shot with his crazy stuff than they would have if Ben Carson had been a white guy. Because Trump has said Trump, Cruz, and many of the other Republican candidates have said things about and not necessarily equally as crazy, but some pretty crazy things. I mean,
yeah,
Trump, especially.
Carson has zero experience there.
Trump,
don't even count Trump in that, because yeah. Trump is he's Teflon.
Yeah.
To Republicans.
So you don't think the fact that Trump says crazy things gains ground, Ben Carson says crazy things loses ground, has anything to do with Ben Carson's race?
I don't know. I mean, look, I don't think Trump's crazy. I just think he's evil.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, I think the things he says, though, are crazy.
He's
yeah.
just, you know, he's pitching his brand.
Yeah.
He says to get attention. He's brilliant at it. I think Ben Carson is literally crazy.
I would agree there. And it's remarkable that somehow he retains his medical license.
Yeah.
I got an email yesterday from someone saying that Ben Carson really, really botched the separation of the conjoined twins.
Yeah, I think I
like that. This is unconfirmed. I just heard this from a listener the other day that Ben Carson unnecessarily separated these twins, and they don't have any mental or physical capacity whatsoever post separation. I don't know that for sure. You can kind of look that up, and I should have checked it out myself before talking about it, because it could be wrong. But that's what I heard.
I like that. I like this new thing for our show. Let's just say whatever.
Yeah, that's right. But I did hear that.
I mean, Jesus Christ, Ted Cruz does that
by way of
crossdresser, liberal transgender.
That's
sorry
right.
About using the word crossdresser.
Well, by the way, by way of a correction. Donald Trump's hats are evidently manufactured in Los Angeles and not China. I got a bunch of emails correcting me on that. Last time on the show on Tuesday, I think I said the Make America Great Again hats are made in China. They're actually made in Los Angeles. The Trump ties, on the other hand, made in China.
Right.
Just wanted to throw that out there. So we apologize for the error. All right, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how many people love Trump's Muslim ban. And then there's this woman who was in
awesome.
Yeah, this woman in this focus group, this Trump focus group.
It's so good to hear her, but I wish we could show it to you. You need to see her.
You need the wild, crazy eyes.
Yeah.
And that's what we didn't get with the Robert Louis Deer audio. We didn't get the wild, crazy eyes. We're going to take a break and come back with that audio and more right after this. Today's Bob and Chez Show is brought to you by the Bob and Chez Show store at cafepress.com/Bob and Chez. Stock up and ready for holiday shipping. If you have a fan of the podcast on your shopping list, check out our variety of Bob and Chez Show logo items. Our store has something for everyone, from t-shirts to hoodies for both men and women, as well as shot glasses, beer mugs, messenger bags, and even Bob and Chez Show watches. And don't forget our exclusive Nyat and Who t-shirts. That's cafepress.com/Bob and Chez for your holiday shopping. Thank you for supporting the big show, and happy holidays.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Yeah. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Okay, don't forget, all of our pre-Christmas shows are brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, in fact, do all of your holiday shopping at Amazon. If you're a listener of the show, it's your duty as an American and as a listener to this show to do all of your shopping at Amazon.com, but make sure to go in through our link. If you just go to Amazon.com, it doesn't work. All right, so what you do is you go to BobSeska.com. Just below the logo, you'll see words that say Amazon link. You click that, and before you actually shop, here's a new little wrinkle to the whole process. Bookmark the link, all right? Once you click the link and it takes you to Amazon.com, bookmark it so you can go back again and again and again, and then we still get great. You don't have to, all you have to do is hit the bookmark. You don't have to keep going back to BobSeska.com in order to do it. Okay, thank you. By the way, we get a small commission for everything you buy, and there's nothing extra added on to the price of your items. And from what I saw on Amazon.com yesterday, still a ton of big time sales at Amazon.com. So it's like Cyber Monday all month long. Yeah. Okay, so moving along here, more Trump news. Let's get into this this woman who went nuts at this focus group the other day, and basically everyone's a liar, according to this lady. It's kind of entertaining to listen to, but you have to see the video. I'm looking at the screen capture right here. Her eyes are like saucers. Her eyes are like big Simpsons eyes.
Yeah, she's completely nuts. You heard her story, right? That it's everything. Well, not everything that she says.
But yeah,
her thing about how she was energized politically by Donald Trump is a lie.
Mm-hmm. And she said she wasn't involved in politics personally.
That's it, exactly right.
But she was. Definitely.
Yeah, she's a birther.
Yeah, she's totally a birther. Mm-hmm. But there's some revealing things in this. Let's play this clip from this crazy Donald Trump supporter here.
We've got people in positions of power who I know for a fact are liars.
Yeah, that's, by the way, breaking news. Big time news right there. This just in. Politicians lie sometimes. Story at 11.
But then she goes, yeah.
it gets a lot crazier. It gets a lot crazier here.
Liars. I watch the TV. My president comes on the TV and he lies to me.
He
I
lies.
Know he's lying.
He's a liar. Liar, 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 liar. He lies to me. President
it
comes on TV.
He lies to her. It tells her things only a child can understand. She's a slightly grown up Tangina Behrens from Poltergeist.
Oh, man. What's the song? You know the movie Say Anything? The one woman sings a song to her ex-boyfriend about, you know, so-and-so lies.
Joe lies.
Joe lies.
Lies. What is it? How many songs about Joe?
A
load of songs about Joe.
Joe lies when he cries.
That's right.
Joe lies.
Yeah, but as you hear this, you have to, you need to imagine a woman leaning forward as she talks, mm-hmm, with her eyes just huge, and she's waving her arms around like a fucking mad woman.
Right. So goddamn funny. All right, let's continue with this.
He lies all the time.
Lies.
Look, friend.
I don't believe any one of them. Not one. I believe Donald.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because Donald never lies. Donald Trump, never full of shit. Donald Trump, always speaking the truth. Always.
It's just perfect. It's just perfect. The guy who lies outright, and this idiot is just, I believe him. Everybody else lies, though.
Obama lies. Obama lies. Obama lies when he cries.
I'm telling you, he says what I'm thinking.
Exactly.
Never been involved in politics, never had an interest in any of it. Now suddenly, he is resonating. He is resonating with the people, and he's speaking our minds. Our minds. See, when the pundits and the experts...
Pundits. There it is. That's the... Pundit. It's pundit. There's only one N in that word, and it's not at the end. It's in the middle. It's not pundit. Pundit. Joe lies.
And all the people who are supposed to be in the know and know all this stuff, and they're so great, I know some of them, maybe not all, but some of them are lying to me straight to my face, and I am so sick of it.
Or in my ear, in the middle of the night, when they come into my room and float over my bed, they're lying to me.
Totally not rehearsed, by the way. It's like,
they lie when the people who are in the know start talking. They're lying. By the way, did I mention lie? According to this piece of paper that I'm reading from right here, they're liars.
Jesus Christ. These are the people who love Trump. He speaks for them, they say.
Oh, he speaks for crazy people.
That's
for
right.
For crazy people and racists.
Right. So it's like for them, like for this woman, for example, Donald Trump speaks for her and the shadow people speak for her, too. Her name is Susan DeLamus. Delamus? Maybe it's DeLamus.
It's not like you're going to call her.
DeLamus. You should change your name to Susan DeLie. Lying to me. Straight to my face. We've got people in positions of power who I know for a fact are liars. Liars! I watch the TV. My president comes on the TV and he lies to me. Lies! I know he's lying. He lies all the time.
Can she please say something every week so we can play it on the show? That's all I ask. I don't ask for much.
Yeah, she's awesome.
All right, so scary number of people love Trump's Muslim ban. This is from the Daily Banter today, in fact. Really kind of crazy. Among likely voters, all voters, 37%. Support banning Muslims, support Donald Trump's call for a temporary ban on all Muslims who are citizens of foreign countries from entering the United States. 50% oppose, but it's remarkable. 37% favor. And if you sort of lump in the don't know category to the favor category, it's 50%. It's 50-50, favor and oppose. Among likely Republican primary voters, of course, 65% support Trump on this. 22% oppose. So, yeah, maybe there are some reasonable Republicans out there. And by reasonable, I mean they don't want to ban Muslims from coming into the country. They're crazy about other stuff. Among likely Democratic primary voters, 75% oppose. But somehow 18% of Democratic primary voters support Trump on banning Muslims from entering the country from foreign countries. That's a little bit scary to know that Trump has that much support. And you know why they support Trump?
Because everyone else lies.
Yep.
They're liars, lying liars.
All right, we're going to take one last break and wrap up the show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
The Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yes, it is. Welcome back to the show, our Thursday show. Thank you for joining us today. I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you saw the U2 concert on HBO. But it was...
No, I didn't.
It was maybe one of the, I would say, one of the top five best concert films I've ever seen. And it was all about the show, really, because the show itself. I mean, the actual, whatever, cinematography of actually shooting the thing, I don't really care about. But the show itself was pretty effing great. And I'm a big U2 fan, so I go into it with the bias anyway. But to see that show, I'd never seen anything like it. Some of the things that they did in that show. First of all, the main stage was connected by a long catwalk that led to... like a stage that was in the middle of the arena, the sort of the thing they always do. And over that sort of runway in the middle of the arena, these two giant screens would come down that had its own catwalk inside in between the two screens, almost like a big video screen taco. And they would walk through. So the actual band members could walk inside the video and the animations that were taking place on the screen. So it almost looked like a hologram that they were interacting with. It was pretty effing amazing. And then the main stage, I thought this was a really funny and appropriate touch. Instead of a big lighting rig over the main stage, they had just one big light bulb hanging down over the stage. It was just a light bulb attached to like an extension cord that went up into the catwalk above the arena. Just really, really cool. And the thing that blew me away the most, though, was just how good it sounded. Like, it's right. For some reason, it sounded huge. And it's just the four guys, and they're old. And it sounded as good as anything they'd ever done.
Well, of course it does. Think about the quality of sound equipment they have.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, it's Live Nation, too. And, you know, those guys are just the gold standard as far as putting on concerts. And so, I don't know if you saw the... There was a documentary on Netflix not too long ago about the guy who founded Live Nation and just how massive it is. I mean, all the biggest concert tour.
I think
now.
I'm familiar.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot that Taryn works for Live Nation. All right.
Yes.
I did not do that for Taryn's benefit. But Live Nation does it up when it comes to a big concert tour. And boy, whoever you two hired and God damn it. Great effing job. Okay. Moving back to politics here. So we talked about the crazy lady who supports Trump. Meanwhile, Trump himself is all butthurt. This is the funniest thing. I love this. I love this when bullies get their comeuppance, because they can dish it out, but they can't take it. And then they start crying like Donald Trump crying on with the giggling couch tumors this morning at Fox and Friends.
Right.
Talking about Josh Earnest's remarks about Trump. This is one of my favorite stories of the day. So many good Trump stories this week. Josh Earnest, White House press secretary, told reporters the other day, the Trump campaign for months now has had a dustbin of history-like quality to it, from the vacuous sloganeering to the outright lies, mm-hmm. to even the fake hair, he said, the fake hair. Oh, yep. Bringing up Donald Trump's fake hair. The whole Carnival Barker routine we've seen for some time now, Josh Earnest remarks. Okay. And, of course, Donald Trump's response to it was to do this. Oh, poor Donald. Oh, my God. Oh, poor guy. Okay. So Donald Trump responded, isn't that disgusting? For a presidential representative to make that comment, Trump said, I assume he was joking, but for a presidential person representing us in such tough times, we have terrorism and all of the problems. For him to make that comment, I thought it was ridiculous.
This is the guy who said about Carly Fiorina, would anyone vote for that? Can you imagine that? The face of our next president.
Yep.
He said about Ben Carson, he makes Jeb Bush look like the Energizer Bunny. And he went after, I didn't know this. I didn't know this until today. Went after Marco Rubio's hair.
Oh,
do you remember this one?
Trump did?
Yeah. Mark Rubio's.
Wow, that takes f***ing balls of steel.
I know. But Mark Rubio does have that Romulan hair.
Of course he does.
He said, by the way, I have better hair than he does. Believe me.
Believe me. That's such a classic Trump line. Believe me. Trust me.
So for Trump,
it's going to be, all, vote for me and all your wildest dreams will come true. Believe me.
If you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams will come true.
He is.
Vote for me and your wildest dreams will come true. That's right. But Trump's making that a factor in terms of how to vote. This time around. You know what? I got terrific hair. I've got better hair than Marco Rubio does. Marco Rubio's got that Romulan hair. Romulan hair. Marco Rubio's got the Romulan hair. Gotta say that a couple of times. So, yeah, I mean, this guy, I don't think needs to be treated with any deference whatsoever. I mean, I know that in the online debate, the words ad hominem pop up quite a bit when it comes to political discussions. And the fact of the matter is, as far as Donald Trump goes, all bets are off. Sure. No holds barred.
I really enjoyed the memo that was put out by BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great. Yes, you can call him a lying racist because he is a lying racist.
Right. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is absolutely a lying racist.
You know, and if he plays at that level, there's nothing wrong with countering him with the same or similar remarks.
But you know what? I gotta give credit to, I'm not usually a huge fan of Amanda Marcotte's stuff, but she had a really great piece. I think it was for Salon the other day, where she said, she's like, don't be fooled by the idea that Donald Trump has tapped into something amazing. You know, that he's tapped into something that wasn't out there before. He hasn't. He is the bullhorn for these people who have been there all along.
Yeah.
All he's doing is speaking for them. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. He's somebody who is saying what they have thought for the longest time and haven't been able to say.
Exactly. I mean, it's all been leading to this.
Yeah.
The fact is that the Republican Party has been building toward a Trump candidacy for a long, long time. If not Trump himself, someone else who is speaking and behaving like this.
Yeah.
Here's that BuzzFeed memo that's going around. It says, hey there. It's from Ben Smith. Hey there. We've gotten a question or two about how to talk about Donald Trump in social media and whether calling him, say, a liar and a racist violates our policy asking that you not to be political partisans on social media.
Wait, since this came from BuzzFeed, is there a trigger warning on it for racism?
Yeah, that's right. The goal of this policy, which is stricter with BuzzFeed news staff, are twofold. To preserve our readers' confidence that we can be fair, and to not needlessly undermine the work of reporters on that beat. And in that context, Trump is operating far outside the political campaigns to which those guidelines usually apply. It is, for instance, entirely fair to call him a mendacious racist, as the politics team and others here have reported clearly and aggressively. He's out there saying things that are false and running an overtly anti-Muslim campaign. BuzzFeed News' reporting is rooted in facts, not opinion. These are facts. Our coverage reflects the facts on his campaign, and you aren't going to get in trouble for stating them on Twitter. I would, though, steer away from suggesting his views are those of all Republicans or conservatives. Dick Cheney condemned him yesterday, for example. Well, if in that case, I mean, that's like, you know, that's like evil condemning evil. Isn't that a double positive in some way? There are, of course, other good reasons to not engage in U.S. Twitter's political troll wars, and I generally advise against it, but there's nothing partisan about accurately describing Donald Trump. I love that. That is so perfect. Good. You know, I read this thing on Town Hall. This was really revealing as far as how the far right views Donald Trump. They're accusing Donald Trump of being a part of a cult of personality, and conservative media is enabling Donald Trump. And the article is written by Guy Benson from the conservativetownhall.com website. He writes,
oh, yeah.
Of course they would. This is how, okay, first there's the tweet. New poll, 68% of Trump supporters say they would still vote for him if he ran as a third party candidate. Yes! That is like the best.
It is.
Best news for 2016 if he does that. And of course they would, this guy writes. This is how cults of personality operate. Please recall this Huffington Post poll released in September. It demonstrated how Republican voters, driven, it would seem, by Trump backers, became astonishingly supportive of A, maintaining the Iran nuclear deal, B, government-run and funded health care, and C, race-based affirmative action when the pollster informed respondents that those positions were held by Donald Trump as opposed to Barack Obama. So Republican voters supported these three positions when the pollster said that they were Donald Trump positions and not Barack Obama positions, in which they really are. Right. These aren't hypotheticals, by the way. Follow those links and you'll discover that longtime Democrat Donald Trump has embraced all three liberal stances during his current presidential run. Well, not necessarily. Certainly not Obamacare. Cut the shit.
Yeah.
Not back when he was donating generously to Hillary Clinton and Harry Reid over the years. Well, you know what? Businesses donate to both parties. Doesn't right. necessarily mean that they're one party or another. They're just hedging their bets is what they're doing.
Of course.
Now, this guy goes on basically to say that Donald Trump holds leftist positions. That he refers to Trump's campaign as Trump's Democrat style campaign.
Yeah, there and you know there it is. There's the projection.
Yeah,
that's exact.
Yeah,
I'm there. I've been there for a while, but
yeah.
I'm burned out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's frustrating to me that this is the stupidity, and I'm praying to God. Even though I don't believe in God, I'm praying that people realize this, that they see that this childishness is what the Republican Party represents now.
That's right.
I'm sitting here while you're talking. I'm sitting here and looking at a headline from Think Progress that basically Ted Cruz yesterday at the Senate subcommittee hearing on climate change. Ted Cruz invited a conservative talk show host who then ran on a 2-minute rant about how we shouldn't be worrying about the Maldives Islands, which could very well be sunk if climate change continues, if the water levels continue to rise, because the entire population of the Maldives are Sunni Muslim, and so they'll fit in perfectly if they move to the Brussels suburb that produced the shooters in Paris.
Jesus Christ.
It's just these, nothing about these people is serious. Nothing.
No.
Nothing is serious.
And again, when it is so obvious that Donald Trump is not running a Democrat-style campaign, this is, I mean, it's worse than projection. It's living in another universe. It's like living in an opposite universe. I mean, I don't see anything coming out of Donald Trump's mouth that could possibly, in any universe, be defined as democratic.
It isn't. But I mean, again, these are the same people who turn everything around and say, you know, when a guy goes on a shooting rampage who is obviously, undeniably a very far right wing conservative, you know what? He's a liberal. I mean, Jesus Christ, I brought it up before. Ted Cruz, without any proof or anything whatsoever, said that Robert Deere, in the wake of the Planned Parenthood shooting, said he was a what was he? He was a transgender liberal.
Yeah. And that he's using liberal rhetoric. And Ted Cruz isn't going to link the liberal rhetoric with the cause of the shooting.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You're right. That's otherworldly.
It's from another universe is what it is. It's from some sort of parallel universe where everything is exactly the opposite. And I don't know. They clearly are living in a different reality than I think the rest of the world. I mean, that's got to be the only explanation, that they're just so delusional and so overcome with Obama derangement syndrome or liberal derangement syndrome or whatever you want to call it. Just mania from
going on
8 years of having a liberal, democratic, African-American president.
And it's not just that.
I who's been successful, by the way.
Yeah. And it's the slow wake up to the fact that the world around them has changed and has passed them by.
Yeah. Yeah.
That progress is happening whether they want it to or not.
This guy, this author here on Town Hall continues by saying, can we abandon all reason and alleged principles in order to march in lockstep with an anointed political figure or oppose a bête noire? Yes, we can. In italics. The point is that emotion-based hero worship can heavily erode afflicted parties' previous adherence to values, ideology, and critical thinking. Splitting the loosely defined center-right political coalition would vastly increase the likelihood of a Hillary Clinton victory next year. Of course, that's true. But the idea that Trump is running a Democratic-style campaign is just...
No. A Democrat-style
campaign. Yeah, sorry. Democrat. Democrat-style campaign.
Make sure you use that shibboleth.
But I want to go back to that poll. That is amazing to me. And it shouldn't be. Because I've looked at these polls for a long, long time. The one that I often go back to is the ideological identification poll between are you liberal, are you conservative, are you quote-unquote independent? And how still conservative views as a label outrank liberal views, even though if you ask people issue by issue, they basically support liberal positions with a couple of exceptions. And the same with Obamacare. If you ask them, do they like Obamacare? They say no. But then you ask them separately individual questions about the content of Obamacare, and they love it. They love it. They love it. They love it. And it's a similar dynamic going on here, where if you tell them it's Donald Trump, they love the Iran nuclear deal. They love government-run health care. They love race-based affirmative action. But if you say it's Barack Obama, no. So to me, this is one of the things that should more or less, you know, I guess there is some positive metric here as far as at least knowing where people are coming from. But in determining where they're truthfully coming from, that's impossible anymore. Because there is no more truth. There is no more reality for at least half the country. For the people who vote Republican, who are registered Republican, I guess it's, what is it, a total of 38% of the entire American population?
Yeah.
They're completely...
I'll take your word on that.
Completely divorced from objective reality. Again, living in some sort of foreign dreamland or something. I don't know. I can't tell anymore. You know, and the left isn't always right. I mean, there was a story floating around social media today that a liberal called Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs and threatened to kill Republicans. And a strange twist. I mean, so yeah, there are crazy people on both sides. Way more crazy people on the right.
Oh, not even close. Yeah. Not even close.
Yeah.
I think that's why I really love it when people on the right find like one example to prove their point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Wow, okay. Congratulations. Good for you. You found one time where this actually happened.
Yeah, well clearly liberals are using eliminationist rhetoric to attack Republicans wanting to kill them. Oh, it's one person. One. All right, we've got a big postmortem show. By the way, if you haven't signed up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez, we are nearing by the day. We're nearing our goal of $7,500 a month, which will allow us to do a new show every weekday, all right? And then once we get there, we're going to bump the total up another, what is it, $3,500? No, it'd be $2,500 to $10,000, and we're going to have some surprises at the $10,000 level that we're going to be rolling into the show at that point, too. So we're already starting to look at new Patreon goals. So if you haven't signed up, go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. You can donate as little as $1 a month. If everyone listening to the show right now donated at $1, just $1 a month, that's 25 cents per show. No, actually less than 25%. It's like, what, 12.5 cents per show. we would far exceed our goal. We would be at 10,000 times dozens. Be huge. And that's just $1 for every listener listening to the show right now. Okay. So we got a big post-mortem show coming up. Let's see. What? Dennis Miller and Bill O'Reilly went bananas over the zombie nativity scene. This is a serious thing on the right. Plus my hate mail of the week. Maybe some Sarah Palin stuff from Facebook and... gun fetishists are staging some sort of mass shooting drill at University of Texas. We'll talk about that, too. It's coming up on the Postmortem Show. That is next for Patreon subscribers only. Go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez, and we'll see you over there. Bye-bye.